This morning's scripture reading will be coming from the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It's Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And the Bible reads, "Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." I have read for you Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. May God bless all that hear his word, and especially those who do as he has commanded.
Appreciate the passages that were read in our hearing. I'm very thankful for the opportunity. I never want to take any of these opportunities for granted. We come every Lord's Day, and it's a blessing that we're able to be here and to learn, that we may be conformed to the image of Christ. And that's why we're here, as we are worshiping God in spirit and in truth, that we're learning to be more and more like our Savior Jesus the Christ as we take on his mindset. All month we have been talking about the simplicity of truth, or the simplicity that is in Christ. And the idea that we began with in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3 is the idea of being single-minded. Literally, to be focused, to be laser focused. And when we stop and we consider this, and you consider the church at Corinth and the problem that they had, they were not focused, even to the point where the Apostle Paul told them that just as Eve was beguiled by the serpent, he was kind of on the side of, "I'm afraid that that has happened to you too." And when we stop and we think about that, hopefully, when we think about our commitment to Christ, and friends, make no mistake about it, it is a commitment. It's a commitment that we all should have. Jesus would use the same word, if you will. He would use the same word in Luke chapter 11 and verse 34 through 36. I want us to read that again, because we studied this a few weeks ago, and I want us to look at it again, because this is going to set the precedence, if you will, for our lesson, because it is in these particular points that the Lord makes that we're going to center our thoughts around. In verse number 34, "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good," when it's clear, it's a figure that Jesus is using here, "your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." Friends, did you hear that, brothers and sisters in Christ? I find that very interesting, because as I've been pondering this for the last few weeks, as a Bible student and as one who strives to be a person of integrity, you begin to see things that are not full of light. And when we consider the necessity of being focused, and there is a necessity that the Lord is teaching us, and when we consider, again, the simplicity of truth and the simplicity that's in Christ, doesn't necessarily mean that which is simple, easy. But he's talking about being single-minded, being focused, making sure that the eye is good. In Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, I find it very interesting that Paul would use this idea. And again, this is why we have to do our part in studying the scriptures. Friends, are you studying? Are you spending time studying? Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourselves. Now watch this. To be a tupas. To be an impress. To be a pattern of good works in doctrine showing, notice, integrity. The King James uses the phrase showing uncorruptness. The New Living Translation uses reflect the integrity. We think about what Paul is telling the young men here, that he wanted them to show integrity in their lifestyle, in their teaching. Notice what he goes on to say. Reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say. We have to ask ourselves a question. How single-minded are we? How much integrity do I have? And what is this integrity built upon? What is it placed upon? Keep in mind, friends, that there's a reason for truth. And we discussed and been discussing this for the entire year as it relates to triumphing in truth. Friends, let me remind us that according to 1 John 2 and verse 21, there is no lie of the truth. And so when we think about truth, truth is absent of lies. It can't be 99.9% truth and 0.1% lie and it be true. It's not truth anymore. It's a lie. Now, we don't think like that as people because we want to believe that, well, I'm a truthful person, even though I may tell a lie every now and then. But keep in mind, God is truth. In 1 John 1 and verse number 5, there the Bible communicates to us that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And so you take that with the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 11, verse number 33 and 34 and 35, having no part dark. And you start putting all these things together, and then the next thing you know, when you get a man of God up here like Chad, and he's talking about examining yourself according to 1 Corinthians 11, 32 and 33, it really begins to take toll and be like, you know what? God wants me to judge myself now, so I don't have to be judged before him later. What a blessing. And Chad, throughout my life, always read and read and read 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 30, but not the 32. But that's just as important. Because it is in this opportunity that God has given us on the first day of the week to examine ourselves to make sure that we are single-minded, that our eye is focused on truth, focus on him, focus on his son, focus on his word. And so the single-mindedness that God wants us to have, watch this, it will affect our integrity. How much integrity do I demonstrate? So point number one, when we stop and we consider the proper use of our minds determine integrity, I want us to turn to 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15. Look at this. I find it very interesting as we're studying together. And if you're visiting with us, I want to let you know you are our honored guest and we want you to study with us. If you rededicated your life, we want you to be considering some of these words. Because the proper use of our minds determines integrity. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15 is a very familiar passage. But I want us to focus in on the phrase, be diligent, or the King James rendering, study. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be diligent. You consider that word, that idea there, here, one is really focused on presenting themselves before God. One is studying. Now, the idea of study doesn't necessarily mean that one is investigating the Word of God, even though that is inclusive. The idea of study here is being diligent, making haste, being one that is always at it, which means that this individual doesn't shortcut in their seeking to be approved before God. And you stop and you consider this word approved, the Greek word dokomai, which the idea there is to have the correct weight. And when a person, especially during this particular time, Mark, was dokoma, they were a person of integrity, a person that was single in their mind, a person that focus on doing that which was right. And so during that particular time, the coinage system was based upon weight. And so what individuals would do, because they were trying to cheat, they would shave down the weight. And then they would present it as if this was the proper coin. No. Paul is saying, no. What you need to do is be diligent, make haste to demonstrate yourself the proper weight before God. And it caused me to think, that's interesting. Because to be single-minded, to be focused, to be one who has integrity, which means that I am attempting to do that which is right before God, regardless if anyone is around, that's tough. Why? Because, man, the internet runs rampant. iPhones, Androids, whatever device you want to use, sometimes you can look at things and listen to things and be involved in things that just don't meet God's approval. Amen. Pornography doesn't meet God's approval. Embezzlement doesn't meet God's approval. Slandering online doesn't meet God's approval. You stop and you think about this word. Paul would use this in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. He would use that same idea, Scott. Remember, we were talking about that. That same idea is used there. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Think about this. The child of God has a responsibility to prove all things, not just with this, but with all things, James Clark. When we stop and we consider, God wants us to make sure that everything that we do can be proven. And so, just don't limit it to the Word of God. Make sure that whatever you do in this life, it can be proven. And if it can't be proven, I venture to say you leave it alone until it can be proven. Look at 2 Peter 1. Look at verse 10. In 2 Peter 1, in verse number 10, Peter, talking to those who are scattered, talking to pilgrims. Make no mistake about it, friends, that's what we are. Christians are pilgrims. We're just passing through. Try not to get too comfortable here as a child of God. Don't get too comfortable. And the reason why is because we're pilgrims. We're passing through from earth to glory. He says, be even more diligent. Look at verse number 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. There's that our idea as found in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15. Make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Notice, be even more diligent. Make haste. Hurry up. when we stop and we consider integrity, it requires us examining and proving, making haste. The idea here is very powerful and worthy of our attention. When we stop and we consider these words, God wants us to mature. He wants us to be intentional. So I have a couple questions I need to ask. Number one, what will encourage and enhance the proper use of the mind? I don't have time to go through all of this. I probably gave you, got about 2 hours worth of work up here. Sometimes I think we're too much in a rush to get this type of work. Don't take all of that. Watch this. What will encourage and enhance the proper use of the mind? Put these in your notes. Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 13. I believe this is the most important point right here. Look at that passage. What will encourage and enhance the proper use of the mind? What will help us to be a people of integrity? What will help us to be single in our focus? What will help us to have a simple mind? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, reverence God, and keep his commandments. This is man's all. What will help us in our mind? A proper reverence for God. Why do men sin? They lack the proper reverence for God. Psalm 36, 1. What else will encourage and enhance our minds? Ridding bad influences. There are some people that just have bad influences in their lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17, Paul would tell the church at Corinth, these are adults he's talking to. He's not talking to children. He's talking to individuals that have a mind to think. Come out from among them and be separate. What does that mean? As God's holy people, we have to come out from among that which is unholy. You remember what happened to Nadab and Abihu? They offered up strange fire unto God, Leviticus 10, the first three verses. We consider those particular points, and God, as he is working through Moses and working through Aaron, he brings Ithamar and Eleazar and Ithamar, which were Aaron's other sons, putting them into the priesthood, and he tells them to refrain from drinking. Why? Because their minds were clouded. Their minds were clouded, Nadab and Abihu, and they could not think straight. We think about evil communications corrupt good manners, good morals. But what else encourages and enhances the proper use of the mind? Look at Jude 20. In Jude 20, we find something very powerful. We've used this passage before, but as I was pondering and thinking, I'm like, what will cause us as the people of God to enhance and be encouraged in the midst of all of the discouragement that is around us? But you, Jude, talking to the brethren, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now notice, building yourselves up. Why do we come together? To build up one another. Why do we spend time with one another outside of these commanded times? To build up one another. Look at Malachi chapter 3. It's the last book of the Old Testament. Right before the 400 years of silence between the time of Malachi and John the Baptist. In Malachi chapter 3, in verse number 16, one thing that God loves is fellowship. He loves when his people are in fellowship with one another, but not just hanging out, if you will, if I can use that terminology. He just doesn't want the people of God hanging out. He wants the people of God to help one another stay focused, to be single in mind. The simplicity of truth. Then those, verse 16, who were morally reverent, who feared the Lord, spoke to one another. And the Lord listened and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him. The Lord's people were in fellowship with each other because they was talking about the word of God with each other. Brother Royce, when we come together, we ought to be talking about God's word. Brother Jennings, we ought to be talking about God's word. You have a spouse that's in Christ, you ought to be talking about God's word. God's word ought to be part of the conversation, not every now and then. Why? Because we're talking about encouraging and enhancing the proper use of the mind. The mind is so important. But notice the next question. What will discourage and destroy the proper use of the mind? In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, walking according to the flesh. Oh, I wish I had time to look at that, but we're going to make time. Look at Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, and I believe we need to make time for one or two of these because it's running rampant in our nation. And I find it very interesting that the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, meaning that Paul did not come up with this by himself. Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these things. Notice what he says. Now the work or the works of the flesh are manifest, are evident. They're easily seen, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, pharmakia, sorcery, or witchcraft. That's drug use, drug concoctions, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, angry people who burst out in anger at other people. Notice the section of scripture that this is in. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, meaning drinking parties, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not go to heaven, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now I want us to stop. I want us to consider the question, what will discourage and destroy the proper use of the mind? What will hinder us from being single in our mind? Mike, what will help hinder you from being a man of integrity? Talking to myself. These things will hinder us. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. Learned this from my sons the other day. We were talking, looking at these texts. And notice, what will hinder, what will keep us from being a people of integrity, a people of single-mindedness. Notice what Paul says. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Watch your influence. Don't be looking at them. In the pointlessness, the moral depravity, the futility of their mind, having their understanding. The understanding is dealing with the mind, the feelings, the desires, the intellect, and the understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God. Why? Because of the ignorance. What will position me to be discouraged and my mind be destroyed by sin? Ignorance. The blindness of their heart, that which keeps me from seeing God. What's blinding some people in America today? What's blinding some Christians today? Sin, the God of this world, blinds the minds of them lest they see and obey the light of the glorious gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. Blindness can't be able to see what God desires for them to see because maybe selfishness, envy, pride, strife. Friends, we got all of this around us, and no wonder we got to come out from among them. We got to be focused. We have to be single in our heart and in our minds. But notice what he says in verse 19. Who being past feeling, meaning that they become desensitized to sin. Here we see something very interesting, that one can be looking and involved in something that God is not pleased with for so long that it doesn't even bother their conscience anymore. I've been there before. I've been there before. That's not a fun feeling to have right there. And then you kind of wake up or somebody checks you, they rebuke you and they reprove you. Be like, man, thank you. Appreciate you doing that for me. Or you get stung and bitten by sin, and then that wakes you up. Last thing we want is to grow accustomed, watch this, to sexual sin, to abortion, to false teaching, to false thinking. The last thing we want to grow past feeling in are those things that cause us to desire more when we have enough. Uncleanness with greediness. Look at verse 20. He's talking to the church at Ephesus here, and he tells them, but you have not so learned Christ. Literally in the Hebrew, in the Greek, I'm sorry, Brother Daniel, he said, you didn't learn Christ in this way. I didn't teach you this. And sometimes the world around us can teach us certain things, even to the point where we don't even think about it sometimes. We just take on thought processes. That's why you have to check everything that comes into your mind and into your heart. Hebrews 3 and verse number 12, another thing that discourages and destroys the proper use of the mind, unbelief. Unbelief. It was unbelief that hindered the children of Israel to go into the promised land. God had brought them up out of Egypt. He's leading them through the wilderness. 11 days journey. That's all it was supposed to be. They ended up spending 40 years in the wilderness. It never fails. Sin always costs you more than what you're willing to pay. And it always keeps you longer than what you're willing to stay. And friends, be careful with sin. Sin doesn't release us because we're done with it. Third question. What will sustain and save the mind through proper use? Mark said something in his prayer. Remember that, Evelyn? Wow. He said, thank you, God, for not lying to us. Man will lie to you, but God won't. Preachers will lie to you, but God won't. Politicians will lie to you, but God won't. You will lie to yourself, but God won't. Wow. Amen, brethren. And all through the New Testament, Brother Royce, you have this language, be not deceived. If you look it up in the original language, don't deceive who? Yourself. The easiest person to deceive for some reason is me. Here, he says, thank you, God, for not lying to us. And so Jesus would say in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What sustains and saves the mind? Keep in mind, friend, that when Jesus Christ comes back, we're not going to have this human body. He's going to change it in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to have a body that is clothed in the song that we sung in immortality, life. Think about this. God, what are you saving? I'm saving the heart. I'm saving the mind. I'm saving the soul. So it has to be one of integrity. It has to be focused. It has to be fixed. It must be fruitful. And you stop and you consider these words and you think about what will it take for me to be a person of integrity? That means I am doing what is right in the sight of God. I'm being holy in the sight of God. I'm being righteous in the sight of God, regardless of who's watching. Or not. Wow. And so, when we stop and we consider every single doctrine in the Bible that points mankind to holiness is designed to help him be focused. Every single one. And it's difficult at times. This is why the older must teach the younger how to live their lives. Be an example. Which brings me to my second and last point, because I don't have time for point number three. When we stop and we consider the truth and renewing the mind and the application thereof, friends, it takes us properly focused as leaders to determine integrity. We have four elders here. You ought to be able to look at all four of us according to the scriptures and say, I want to be like that. I find it very interesting in Isaiah 9 and verse number 4. Was that 4? 16. God said that the leaders have caused my people to go astray. Friends, we stop and we consider corrupt leadership. Thankful to be working with men that love the Lord. Thankful to be working with men that love the Christ, love the Word, that teaches the Word. Thank y'all. Appreciate y'all. And the reason why I say that is because not everyone has this beautiful blessing. Brother Royce, isn't that true? Jesus would say in Matthew 15, 13, and 14, if the blind lead the blind, they're ditched. They both fall into the ditch. We stop and we consider great leaders. Notice 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we're going to go to the Old Testament and look at a great leader in the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. One thing that I love about David, he was a man after God's own heart as a young man, but he was also one as an older man, even in the midst of the problems that he sometimes brought upon himself. Here we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 11, David is blessing God. And he says in verse number 11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. Watch this, friends. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours, your kingdom, or yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Friends, did you see that, brothers and sisters in Christ? You see this great leader who is honoring God, and he's honoring God in front of the people. One thing that the people of God need today, more so now, are men that honor God. In the midst of being surrounded by evil, in the midst of being suppressed and oppressed eventually, we need men that's going to point Christians back to heaven. If you take notice of verse 16 through 18, notice what he says here. O Lord, our God, notice what he says. All this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house, for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. Did you see that? One thing that God loves, he loves an upright heart. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse number 29. Lo, I found that God made man upright, but man has sought many inventions. Notice what he says. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart. Now, I find it very interesting that when you look this up in the Septuagint, the Hebrew, which is in the Greek, it is a direct correlation to 2 Corinthians 11 in verse number 3. Simplicity. Wow. In the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our father. Keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and fix their heart toward you. You see that, brethren? A leader's responsibility is to help the people of God to fix their hearts on God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 15, we come across another man of God by the name of Jehoshaphat. He's being surrounded. It's a tough time for the people of God. Yet, we have a man of God. We have a king. We have a man that loves God in verse number 15. And notice what he says. And he says, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you. Notice what's said to them. Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. Why? For the battle is not yours, but God's. Friends, did you hear that? Did you see that? When you stop and you think about the simplicity of truth, the simplicity that is in Christ, God wants us to be a fortified people, a strong people, a people of courage, a people who care, and a people who love the truth, the word of God. Look at verse number 16. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Now watch. You will not need to fight in this battle. What are they supposed to be doing? Position yourselves, number one. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, number two. Isn't that what Moses told the children of Israel when they had the Egyptian army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes we can be so focused on the enemy that we can't see the salvation. Sometimes men can be so focused on dying that they can't live. Here, he told them, position yourselves, stand still. And then he says, the Lord is with you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Friends, did you see that, brothers and sisters in Christ? But notice what else we see as we close. I find this very interesting. In verse number 18, notice what this great leader does in front of the people. And I want to challenge us as leaders here. The people of God must see us the same way. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Verse number 19. Then the Levites of the children of Kohath, or the Kohathites, and the children of the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Wow. You got enemies all around them, and y'all are going to worship God at this time? Yes, we are. Verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. God, what are you teaching us this morning? Brethren, don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. Regardless of what's going on around us in the church of Christ, there is stability, there's serenity, there's spirituality. It's all right here. Don't you lose focus. Don't you lose hope. You stay focused. And that's our responsibility, is to help you stay focused. And your responsibility as members is to help us stay focused. And so we want to help one another stay focused. Stay focused on who? On the Lord. But notice what he goes on to say. And you shall be established. Believe his prophets. And you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, and we're saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Wow. God, what are you teaching us? That in the midst of everything that's going on, where it seems as if things are being taken out from under us, we want to stay focused on spiritual things, period. Because if we continue to go in the way that we're going, even as a nation, I guarantee you there'll be Christians that will say, I can't handle it. I'm out. No, you have to make up your mind now that you're going to be focused and you're going to be strong and you're going to fight the good fight of faith and you're going to stay with the doctrine of Christ. And so as leaders, I got to say this because I wrote this. It's time for leaders in the church, and there are so many brethren that listen to these lessons online, so I'm saying it for them too. As leaders, we have to have our minds made up now on subjects like the oneness of the church, the deity of Christ, homosexuality, marriage, divorce, and remarriage, matters of opinion, abortion, instrumental music being used in and outside of worship, appropriate conduct and dress in worship, the worship of the church, the judgment day. I can go on and on and on and on. Got to have our minds made up now, because if we don't and people begin to question and we don't know where we stand, guess what's going to happen? We're not going to be focused. We're not going to be fixed. We're not going to be fruitful. We're not going to be single in mind. And people are going to see the inconsistency like you see in the world. And they're going to say, forget Christianity. But not the people of God. Here's the question. What will we do? Will God be with us? Will God help us? Of course he will. The question is will you help yourself? Will you be faithful? Because it's going to take focus. Keep in mind that this is a spiritual war. There's an enemy that hates us. Amen. Friends, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Our fight is not with man. Our fight is with spiritual things. That's where the fight is. So focus on spiritual things. You'll be able to see them for what they really are. But if you focus on carnal things, you'll be flip-flopping. You'll vacillate. You won't know where you're standing. But right now is the time to know where you stand. If not, why? I'll say this as I close. I'm so thankful to the God of heaven that was truth. And I'm so thankful that he just requires the best of the preacher to just say what he needs to say. It's on you what you do with it. Hopefully you'll do it right. I'm not a child of God, I want you to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Willing to repent of his sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of his sins. God will do something amazing. He'll wash away all your sins. He'll add you to the Son's church. You're faithful. Look at Revelation 2. When you think about persecution as it relates to the book of Revelation, you're faithful unto death. God will give you the crown of life. That's what we're hoping to hear. Well done. If you're a child of God, you haven't been focused. You haven't been a person of integrity. Well, let's stop that. Let's repent of that. Let's get it right. As we stand and as we sing, Lord, so we stand.